actually didn't do it.
That was frightening. That was frightening. That was frightening.
He called it his ghost in the jar.
That was frightening.
And he called it the black thing.
It was.
And I actually didn't do it. I called it a chip. And he called it the black thing. I called it a chip. And he called it the black thing. I called it a chip. It is I who called it a chip.
That was frightening. That was frightening.
He called it his ghost in the jar.
That was frightening.
I'm blanking.
For ZeroPointRadio.com, I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
To the Ground Zero Lounge. I'm Clyde Lewis. Let's get loud for ZeroPointRadio.com. Let's get really loud for them tonight. Yeah. I think we are live tonight. We have been having some technical difficulties, but we are getting them out of the way. And speaking of some interesting things, I would like to direct your attention to the screen right here. I'd like to direct your attention. Tonight's show is about puppies and kittens. Yeah. Isn't that cute? Puppies? No, I'm just kidding. So after last week, I was talking it over with my friends. I was talking with Janine, the wonderful human being, my fiance, who helps me with these shows. And I tell you what, we were wondering if maybe we could like just get everybody to kind of mellow out with some mellow puppies and kittens, because tonight I'm going to scare the shit out of all of you. So it's going to get really scary. This is a scary show tonight. And I wanted to get the reaction. Janine says, text me the reaction. So I texted a reaction. Tonight's show is going to be a little spooky. And the reason why it's going to be a little spooky is because how many remember, when was it? It was Labor Day, the 8th. We didn't have a show here by applause. You remember that? Yeah, a couple of you? Well, here's something that's really strange about the show that I prepared for the day after Labor Day, which was September 9th of 09, or 999, okay? I prepared a show for 999. However, I had to scrap the show for 999 because the next show I was going to do was going to be on 9/11. So when I went live on ZeroPointRadio.com, I did a show about 9/11 instead of doing a show about 999. So I kind of threw out the entire show and said, okay, I'm going to move on to the next show that I want to do and talk about the next topic that I wanted to talk about, which, of course, was this social war topic that got everybody all pissed off last week. And I didn't mean to piss everybody off. I didn't mean to offend people, but a lot of people were offended by what I had to say. And I was trying to be fair, but it's hard to be fair when you try to warn people of something that's happening. And, you know, and in fact, people in the chat room at ZeroPointRadio.com were going, let's talk about something more upbeat and more whatever. And I said, well, you know, it's not about not being upbeat. It's not about being negative. It's about warning people of what's to come. And I can tell you right now that after what I had said about the possible social war, race war, and all that problem going on, I wake up and I look at the Drudge Report and I notice that the G20 summit going on in Pittsburgh is happening. And believe, how many people have seen the footage from the G20 summit? By applause. Police state, man, they're using LRAD weapons. They're using all kinds of things on people. They never use LRAD weapons on people. They use, yeah, first time they've ever used LRAD weapons on people in the United States. They usually use them in Iraq or Afghanistan to disperse crowds. Now they're using them on American citizens. And I was actually, Eric Sloan, the guy that does the news for the Zero Point Radio, I generated from my house. He came in, I played him the segment, and he was like shaking his head going, I can't believe this. And most of the people that were watching on YouTube would put in the blogs that they can't believe. They believe it was faked. They believe it was all faked and staged. They don't think that any of this is happening. They believe that a lot of people were saying, well, the media said that there was no problem at the Pittsburgh G20. But then again, why would they need 4,000 police officers if there was no problem? And why did they bring in all the heavy artillery if there was no problem? Because there was a problem. People were actually doing these things. And so, but let me get back to what, well, go ahead, Bob. You want to say something quick? Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say, in actuality, there were only about 1,000 protesters.
Right.
And they had 5,000 cops to
okay.
hold them off.
So
a little 5-to-1 ratio there going on, which is overkill to the max.
Of course it is.
Obviously. And I forgot. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. So let me get on to the show tonight. And what we're going to call the show tonight is not Puppies and Kittens, but Turn Me On, Dead Man. And to tell you the truth, this show was going to be talked about on 999. And for those of you that know what Turn Me On, Dead Man is, number 9, number 9, number 9, played backwards, is Turn Me On, Dead Man, Turn Me On, Dead Man, Turn Me On, Dead Man, for those of you that are Beatles fans. And that's what I was going to talk about. But what's interesting is that tonight, when you hear me talk about what I was going to talk about, you're actually going to see that I should have talked about it back on the 9th, but I didn't get a chance to. And you're going to see that the show, I added to it, you're going to see how the show was kind of, in a way, eerily prophetic and numerologically correct. And you're going to see this transform. You're going to see how spooky numerology can be when you look at this show. As I said, on September 8, 2009, the Ground Zero Lounge show was going to be performed but was canceled because of the Labor Day holiday. What I did is I wrote a piece called Turn Me On, Dead Man, with regard to the Beatles' White Album. And I wanted to talk about the Beatles' White Album and what the Beatles' White Album meant for Charles Manson, and what it means for us now. What was interesting is that the day after September 9th, 2009, or 999, I was thinking to myself, now, is this show going to mean anything to anybody? Because a lot of people will dismiss outright any of my Hocus Pocus shows. They say, well, it's contrived, it's weird. But see, what I'm going to get at is that we are well on the way of being in the crosshairs of deja vu again, with regards to the digital 999. And so many people were saying that 999 meant absolutely nothing, because people were saying, oh, the world's going to end on 999. 999 is magical, this, 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 and this. And I'm like going, you know, just calm down a minute. Let me point out some things about 999 that I didn't get a chance to. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you about it. If you notice the shows that I've been doing lately, Social Schism was talking about Lenin and talking about his influence on communism and Marxism and Barack Obama and the idea of Tavistock, the idea of the Committee of 300, and how Tavistock was allegedly a social engineering group, or they are a social engineering group, and what they do is that they basically move people in directions they wouldn't normally move, and that a guy by the name of Coleman wrote a book saying that the Tavistock Institute was responsible for a lot of the revolution that was going on in the 60s with regard to the Beatles, the White Album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Rolling Stones, Her Majesty's, Majesty's Satanic Service, or whatever the name of the album is. These are the things that Tavistock was responsible for. And then I moved into Animal Farm, kind of comparing what's going on with our government to what went on with Napoleon and Orwell and how the social engineering is the same. And I called it Pig Brother, Swine of the Times, using the metaphors of the pigs, the swine flu, all that. Then I skipped the 999 show and went directly to the Dirty Work show. And it was supposed to be a backup to what I'm about to tell you. But it never transpired. So we are going to get the missing link tonight, and you're going to find out more about trigger reactions, numerology, CFR, Tavistock, and the plans that seem to be happening once again, triggering again. As I said, in Dr. John Coleman's book, The Committee of 300, it is documented that there have been plans in the works to socially engineer the populace into accepting a controlled superstate. This super government can only be implemented if the people demand it. The way it is engineered is through several shocks to the system, which in turn manipulate and wear down the populace into adjusting their principles for the coming changes. The idea is to allow the idea of transcendence to die off in the human being, making him more of a beast or an animal, easily controlled and manipulated through trigger phrases, sounds, numeric sequences, and other stimuli. The subject is then reborn and reprogrammed to do the will of the master. Neurolinguistic programming has been used many times by President Obama to get people to pay attention to what he has to say. They've actually pointed this out, that he uses certain trigger keywords and phrases to get people to do what he says. It's almost as if, as Catherine brought up, that we have a Manchurian candidate in the White House. Or he is trying to train us to be like Manchurian candidates as well, responding to stimulus rather than making choices. Coleman also postulates that the Tavistock Institute used music, employed rock groups like the Beatles to insert messages into their albums. According to Coleman, the Beatles were brought to the United States as part of a social experiment which would subject large population groups to brainwashing of which they were not aware. Other bands like the Rolling Stones were also used in the experiment. The albums were made, the repetition took hold, the social changes began. Huxley had talked about this in many of his books, that the kids would listen to their music and they would have repetitious messages put through their heads in order for them to be good little doobies for the social system that was put into play. One of the albums that created social change, of course, was the Beatles' White Album, along with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The experimental sounds were allegedly completed with the help of Tavistock, using techniques of audio manipulation, subliminal messaging, and backmasking. I want to tell you all that, for those of you that don't know my background, I was once called upon by an organization, a secret organization, to create what is known as an audio barrage to get Manuel Noriega out of the Vatican when he was held up at the Vatican. I was asked to create audio montages including Van Halen, Panama, loudly played to get him out, audio some, much like the LRAD that they used on the people. I also had to record the sounds of rabbits being killed. I also recorded the sounds of me imitating Manuel Noriega saying that I like to bang goats, that I like to have sex with children. These were things, audio manipulations, to get Manuel Noriega out, and they did get out. And if you read in Wikipedia, it talks about that very audio barrage. But I did that because I was working with a radio show in Salt Lake City, and Armed Forces Radio was stationed out of a place near my home in Utah where I was able to go in and make an audio barrage. In fact, some of the audio barrage techniques that you hear on Ground Zero are the same audio barrage techniques that I do now that I did then. Go ahead.
Clyde, I have something morbid to share with you.
Sure.
I've done some research on the whole Branch Davidian thing and the psychological warfare techniques that they used against him.
Right.
And one of the things that they used to torture those people were using an LRAD-type weapon and extremely loud decibel projection amp system, and they were playing rabbits being killed.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's part of it. It's torturous, it's horrible, and loud sounds and things will get people to freak out. And it will get people to freak out. And that's why Charles Manson, we can go back to Charles Manson, and you talk about his controlling, that he was controlled. He was responsible for the 7 Tate LaBianca murders. He was blamed. He blamed the Beatles' White Album for the killings that he committed, that the family committed. Manson said that the Beatles' songs Blackbird, Helter Skelter, Piggies, and especially Revolution No. 9 were all saying to him that a race war was about to take place. He saw a black man laying down his chains to lead a war against white people, killing off one-third of the population. That was his revelation that he had. Now, does that sound familiar to you guys at all? Think about it. A black man takes off his chains to lead the people in a revolution that will wipe out a third of the population. How many people have heard what Sarah Palin was railing about a while ago? The death panels. All these people are worried that they're going to be killed with this health plan that's being proposed. How many people think that maybe Barack Obama, he's the black man that laid down his chains to be a leader as well? And how many people are aware that we're hearing more and more about race war and social war? It's a program. It's a program that was tried in the 1960s and failed. Now, with the population that it was tried on, grown up, and more mature, it has reason to blossom and to possibly get out of control. That's what's frightening about this show tonight. You're going to see the parallels, and you're going to go, whoa, I can't believe this. Revolution No. 9 is a song, actually not a song, as I said, it's an audio barrage that you listen to. It has a lot of strange things in it, but one thing for sure, it has the numbers 999 spoken of many times. Number 9, number 9, number 9. Played backwards, it's Turn Me On, Dead Man, Turn Me On, Dead Man, Turn Me On, Dead Man. You can try it at home if you'd like. At the end of each song, there's a little tag piece on it. This is Manson talking. A couple of notes, like in Piggies, there's an oink, 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 just these couple of sounds, and all these sounds are repeated in Revolution 9. Like in Revolution 9, all these pieces are fitted together, and they predict the violent overthrow of the white man. Like you'll hear oink, oink, and then machine gun fire. I think it's a subconscious thing. This music is bringing on the revolution. The Beatles know, in a sense, and the subconscious knows. Charles Manson was basically saying that he heard in Revolution No. 9, Helter Skelter, that there was going to be a race war or a social war, and a big war it is. Manson believed that the song Happiness is a Warm Gun was the Beatles telling the blacks that the time had come to fight. And the lyrics to Blackbird spelled it out even more clearly. The white enemy was identified in Piggies, which is the family, which was why the family scrawled the words death to pigs and blood on the wall after killing several of the Tate LaBianca victims with knives and forks. That's a lyric in the song Piggies off the White Album. They were out having their dinner with piggy knives and piggy forks, eating their bacon, killing and eating the flesh. The murders were carried out on August 9th, 1969. How many nines do you see? 999. 999. The White Album was the Beatles' ninth album released in Britain. Manson's interpretation of the Beatles' lyrics was a strange, twisted affair, but also was heavily dependent on the Bible, primarily the book of Revelation, especially chapter 9, which Manson equated with John Lennon's song Revolution No. 9. Manson had also seen the four Beatles members as being the four angels referred to in the book of Revelation chapter 9. The apocalyptic scripture tells of locusts, which he interpreted to be Beatles. Echoing the band's name, it describes four prophets as having the faces of men, but with the hair of women. The four angels had breastplates of fire, which Manson interpreted to be electric guitars. Manson was freaking out, obviously. This is what he was saying. Help me, it's hot in here. Revelation 9:11 is the scripture dealing with Abaddon, or the destroyer, come to destroy the city, leave the smoke in the fiery pit. The name Apollyon is also used in the apocalyptic scripture. Apollyon, or Apollo, is the Greek god of death and pestilence. A month before the Manson murders, the Apollo 11 mission took place. Apollo 11. 9-11. Revolution No. 9. Audio montage of shouts, screams, classical music, exploding bombs, soccer yells, traffic hymns, oinking pigs, dialogue from the BBC, and the repeated words, number 9, number 9, number 9, a man's voice saying, rise, then the sounds of machine gun fire and screams. Rise was also printed in blood at the LaBianca home. Prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi believed that it was Revolution 9 that inspired Manson to rise up and kill. On September 9, 2009, or 999, the surviving Beatles, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, re-released the entire remastered library of Beatles songs, including the White Album. On 999. Number 9, number 9, number 9. Joe Wilson called Barack Obama a liar on September 9, 2009 during his health care speech. There were many people, including former President Jimmy Carter, who said that his outburst was racially motivated. Addison Joe Graves Wilson was born on July 31, 1947. He chooses to go by Joe Wilson. There are 9 letters in the name he chose. Number 9. Several incidents of clashes involving race, black versus white, were reported in USA Today, prompting the headline, "What Happened to Civility?" A family visit to a rural Kentucky cemetery led to the shocking discovery of a part-time census worker, naked body hanging from a tree with the word "fed" written on his chest. The part-time census worker may have been hanged on 999. The body was not discovered until 912, and the story was not reported until 924. Many blogs and online opinion sites lamented that the lynching had to be racially motivated, that some white supremacist with an axe to grind against blacks and the government murdered the victim. However, that was until the report stated the victim was a 51-year-old white school teacher named Bill Sparkman. The part-time census worker was bound with duct tape and with his mouth and eyes covered. The police then sealed up the case in order to ward off possible racial or government hate backlash. Here's the deal about writing "fed" in his body or carving it into his body. I remember it was, Leno LaBianca when he was killed. They actually carved the word "war" in his body. That's why I find this case very interesting, because they did basically the same thing with Leno LaBianca's body as they did with Sparkman's body. They carved a word into his body, or they wrote a word on his body. The same as with the Manson case, which makes you wonder, doesn't it? By the way, the Manson cult still exists. I don't know if you know that, but it does. 40 years ago, Manson had stated that Helter Skelter, the race war, was coming down. He claimed that the black race would attack the pigs or the white government. The death of the census worker and the word "fed" written on his chest indicated that the murder was a sign that there is an anti-government sentiment and had to have been carried out by anti-government extremists. Today, there is also an air of racial hatred floating around, and the general consensus is because we have a black president. How many people have been listening to the news lately? It's all about race, hasn't it? By applause. That's an actual Newsweek cover. That's not something we made up. Is Your Baby Racist? That was released on 999. The song "Piggies" by George Harrison was inspired by the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. Interesting, isn't it, that we spoke about Animal Farm before this. The book is satire about the encroachment of communism with a class war with animals. Today, there are many Americans who worry that a black president is attacking the white establishment by allowing the gradual acceptance of communism. Notice the parallels. It's like a mirror, mirror, only in a dark way. And it's happening now. And the Beatles released their album on 999. Another strange coincidence with the song is that Harrison added a lyric that was not used in the song, but in a strange way talks about how the pigs of the establishment thanked their leader for helping them with their banks. Everywhere there's lots of piggies playing piggy pranks. You can see them on their trotters at the piggy banks, paying piggy thanks to the pig brother. That lyric was excised from the song. But doesn't it make you wonder if he was trying to talk about a bank bailout that was probably part of the programming but got taken out for some reason? Now, if you think that it's a stretch that I'm saying that this was predicted by the White Album, then let's take into consideration the song "Sexy Sadie." Sadie was the nickname of Susan Atkins, who was Charles Manson's lover. Her alias was Sadie Mae Glutz. This nickname was given to Atkins by Manson before the White Album song "Sexy Sadie" was released. It was Sadie's testimony in court that brought an end to the Manson family. Now, check out the lyrics of the Beatles song "Sexy Sadie." First stanza, "Sexy Sadie, what have you done? You've made a fool of everyone. Sexy Sadie, you broke the rules. You laid it down for all to see. Sexy Sadie, she came along and turned on everyone. Sexy Sadie, how did you know the world was waiting just for you? Sexy Sadie, you'll get yours yet. However big you think you are, Sexy Sadie, you'll get yours yet." Now, that's bizarre. Okay? This is where it gets even weirder. This is Susan Atkins' mugshot. How many nines do you see in the picture? You see three. Number nine. Susan Atkins, Sexy Sadie, died September 24th, 2009. The nickname Sexy Sadie has nine letters. Number nine. Isn't this coincidental, huh? Susan Atkins dies in the year 09, Revelation number 9, in the ninth month. 9-9. Sexy Sadie, nine letters. When that Squeaky Fromm, another Manson family member, was released from prison also in 2009, nearly a month to the day before Atkins' death. By the way, Fromm is still a member of the Manson cult. Unrepentant, but released from prison. The number nine coincidences pile up as we wonder who or what pipeline the number nine programming into the mind of Charles Manson and his followers. Is there a connection to the year 2009, the meme of race war, Manson's ramblings of black-on-white violence and extremist rebellion? One wonders if it was a program abandoned only to be resurrected 40 years later. In 2009, the beginning of the revolution, who knows? But you read the news headlines about the police state, Pittsburgh, all that going on with G20, that was creepy. Start seeing all that, people being arrested. That was on the day that Susan Atkins, Sexy Sadie, died. The G20 summit was held in Pittsburgh. Although the media, as I said, reported nothing going on, 4,000 cops were in, there were arrests and mass problems and protests and problems. Think about this. G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. 22, 8, 9, 9. Number nine. Turn me on, dead man. Is it a coincidence that Manson allegedly motivated his followers to kill while on acid trips listening to the Beatles' White Album? The song Helter Skelter convinced Manson that a race war was going to happen between blacks, whites, and the social classes. Aren't we seeing that agenda played out now with the idea that the new terrorists are racist extremists that are angry because we have a black president? I think so. This programming is going on. I mean, Catherine said last week that she thought this was part of a program. You guys see the programming happening by applause, or do you think this is crazy? Couple people? It's really, I mean, look, you can say it's pure coincidence, but I'm pointing out more than once this happening. Okay? And I'm also pointing out 999, the series of nines, and what it means. And you may think it's nuts, but there's a lot of weird connections. Go ahead, quick.
Well, just in the news, there's Polanski getting...
yeah, there you go.
I mean,
we'll get to that in a minute. Polanski just got arrested.
In Switzerland, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Trying to attend the Zurich Swim, the film festival. But I don't know. It seems like it's, you know, it's been 31 years.
Yeah, 33, I think.
Since he fled.
Yeah. It's been 30 years now, finally arresting him. Why? Don't you find that weird, Polanski? Oh, and for those of you that don't know, Polanski was married to Sharon Tate, the woman that was killed by Manson. Okay, we're going to get to that in just a minute. Yeah. Too many coincidences. Shake your head. What about this picky crisis with the swine flu? It's the establishment telling you that you need to get inoculated. It's the establishment telling you that you need to do this. In fact, on 999, it was Barack Obama who said that we need to have a crisis in order to get people concerned about health care. In turn, got the liar thing going on, the racial hatred going on, Helter Skelter going down, as Mr. Manson has said in his crazy little way back in 40 years ago. Okay? So here we go. We have some ghost haunting the machine. And it is the number nine, that comes creeping in. Whether it be Tavistock or social engineering or whatever, but you take a look at it and it seems awfully strange. And for those of you that don't know, New York, Albany, New York today, 500,000 inoculations being ordered for Albany, New York, and healthcare workers required to get inoculated or they lose their jobs. Remember at the Ground Zero Lounge, we said, the girl was right here, she said, I will have to move if they force me to take this inoculation. I says, get ready to move. Get ready to lose your job, because that's exactly what they're doing in New York. They're going to fire people if they don't get inoculated. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard there's a major rebellion among the nurses yes. in New York who are refusing to take it.
So exactly. They're saying they don't want to take it because they say the side effects will kill people.
They've got a real problem on their hands.
And the reply was, well, just because something happened in 76, as I say, just because there are plane crashes, I'm not going to fly in an airplane. That was the reply that they had. Go ahead.
This whole forcing the nurses to get this inoculation or basically lose their frickin' job. Okay, mm-hmm. This is a classical definition of fascism. It's the marriage of corporations, the private corporations that manufactured
sure.
these vaccines, and the government. Classic yeah. fascism, right out of the dictionary.
You go ahead and applaud if you like. If you don't think it's fascism, but if you do, applaud loudly, because we've got to be loud and clear for the Internet who's listening tonight. Get loud, please. This isn't a library. It's a bar. You'll be as loud and as crazy as you want to be. Go ahead.
I didn't want to go too off, but while you brought up H1N1, I wanted to bring this in that the Australian H1N1 vaccine, the ingredients, real quick, squalene, thimerosal, which is mercury, formaldehyde,
mm-hmm.
aluminum, infected animal cancer cells, animal biowaste, human fetal tissue, mm-hmm. animal feces, nanoparticles, chicken embryo, antifreeze, and infected caterpillar cells.
And anything else they want to shove in there.
And the amount of mercury is 99 million times stronger than what is considered dangerous in an environmental exposure.
Jesus. And see, this is what we have to be subjected to. And people wonder why, you know, we're having all these problems in 2009. For those of you that don't know, the number 9 is actually a sacred number for Satanists. The number of forces of destruction is the number 9. In the book of Enoch, an apocryphal book, it's written that God asked 10 angels to oversee the creation of the earth, but one had turned away, leaving 9. It was then that the number of 9 became the number of rebellion against God. 9 is the number of the ego, for it always returns to itself. No matter what is done through the most complex multiplication of 9 by any other number, in the end, the final equation, 9, will stand forth. When 9 is used in magic, it creates chaos. And what we were talking about earlier, I was talking with David Smith, sentient evil, or evil that moves like fire, that finds places to adhere and continues to grow. So this whole 999 thing that started 40 years ago and then was resurrected back on 999 is coming back. And I want you to consider for a moment the widely held belief that there may be some sort of satanic conspiracy going on. That one fight for good and evil is always there. We're always constantly fighting it. Keep in mind that when we're dealing with sentient evil, we're dealing with magic and black magic, if you will, this is what it is. When you're dealing with it, it creates a vortex that continually feeds on itself. And then it can be controlled by the magician and then eventually brought back to life again. And when it is brought back to life again, maybe this time it'll have more power. I demonstrated this with the 9/11 situation in Crowley, that maybe what they did is they were able to suspend the idea of racial rebellion, suspend the idea of racial war, suspend the idea of social war for the police state at a time that was more convenient to usher in a new world order. Helter Skelter coming down. Okay? And that's the thing. It sounds too good to be true, but I've seen magic work. Last week, I said that there were polls conducted in New Jersey that stated, actually asked the question, is Barack Obama the Antichrist? 1 in 3 people said yes. 1 in 3 conservatives said yes, Barack Obama is the Antichrist. I thought, for one thing, the entire question was hateful, but people were like freaking out. They were saying, yes, I believe he is. 1 in 3 answered that they believed that Barack Obama was Satan incarnate. The number of the Antichrist is 666, or the inverse, 999. 3 sixes are 18, 1 plus 8 is 9, 3 nines are 27, 2 plus 7 is 9. Go ahead.
Speaking of crazy polls, there was someone on Facebook who put up a poll, should Barack Obama be shot?
Jesus.
And apparently 300 people answered it. I don't know what the percentages were, but the FBI forced them to take it down and are now investigating.
I'll bet. I would want to be that 300, one of those 300 that get a call from the Secret Service. But see how the nines come about? 666, 999, no matter how you slice it, it's 9. That's why 9 is a sinister number of Satanists. That's why 9 is the number of the devil. Everybody thinks it's 666. No, 666 is the mark of the Christian beast. Okay? 999, or 9, and then two times up, which is force multiplied, is the mystic number of the Satanist. And what I'm going to do is I'm also eventually going to bring Rex Church here again. He's be able to tell you all about this because he's the head of the Church of Satan. He can tell you anything you want to know about Satanism and if you want to hear it. On September 27, 2009, director Roman Polanski was arrested. Polanski will be extradited to the United States to stand trial for statutory rape charge of a 13-year-old girl. The rape happened nearly 30 years ago. Polanski, of course, is well known for directing a movie about the Antichrist called Rosemary's Baby. His wife at the time was actress Sharon Tate. Tate was, of course, pregnant with Polanski's baby when she was murdered by the Manson cult. Coincidence? I think not. Polanski, 30 years, finally extradited. Kind of fishy, if you ask me. Why are these names coming back? The 999 has been proclaimed. This is a spell in the making, and you're watching it happen, and I'm demonstrating it for you. The movie, of course, Rosemary's Baby, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, the movie was basically capitalizing on religious paranoia and on right-wing extremism at the time. It was another one of those manipulative movies. It was basically basing itself on an article that was written in Time magazine on June 6, 1966. Is God dead? Kind of what Nietzsche had said. Is God dead in the marketplace? They were asking that question again. Is God dead? Go ahead.
According to Kenneth Anger, Anton LaVey was an uncredited technical advisor on Rosemary's Baby and actually said that not only the song Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, but Rosemary's Baby personified Luciferian doctrine.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Kenneth Anger, of course, is a Satanist who we've talked about before, who talks that movies, he believes most movies are dedications are actually dedications to Lucifer. Now, if we talk about Rosemary's Baby, as he was saying, that it was Luciferian doctrine, was basically telling of a satanic coven that lives in New York and their successful attempt to inseminate an unwitting female with a child of the devil. Now, Charles Manson came on the scene later, and the events of the murders, of the Tate-LaBianca murders, left people questioning whether Polanski had made a deal with the devil himself. But the tentacles of satanic foul play also reached into the Beatles and John Lennon as well, because what this 999 spell does is causes ripples in time. As I said before, it's a sentient evil that moves like fire and finds places to feed. Manson, of course, called himself the devil. He said so himself. The media called him the devil. And he ordered the deaths of Polanski's wife, Tate, Sharon Tate, and her eight-month-old unborn child. Or the eight-month gestation period of the baby. She was killed. The baby was killed. And it was Sadie, I think, that did the killing. Susan Atkins did the killing of her. Now, you take a look at the movie. You take a look at the movie Rosemary's Baby. It was released a year before the Manson family murders. One can argue just how prophetic the movie was, because what it did is it set the stage for the Manson family. Both stories deal with a woman who has ties to the glitz of the media. Rosemary's husband is an actor. Both Sharon and Rosemary are pregnant. Both women are subjected to the consequences of the devil, and both Rosemary and Sharon Tate realize that they are both trapped by a cult that kills without conscience. Towards the movie's end, Rosemary realizes that her husband has made a deal with the devil. It is then she realizes that it's too late. You see the parallels. It's kind of bizarre. Polanski decided that Rosemary's Baby deserved respect to the tale and began to do some things that most people claim tempted fate. The lead role of Rosemary's husband went to John Cassavetes. This was a bizarre coincidence when you realize that the son of the high priest, black magician Stephen Marcatos in the film, changes his name to Roman Cassavetes, which is duly remarkable. You interchange the words and make an anagram. It basically makes the word Satan craves most. It was on purpose that they did this. Now, what did Satan crave? Well, Satan craved blood. Satan craved the attention that Polanski gave it freely. He based his movie on June 6, 1966, or 666. Using the Beast area code wasn't enough for Polanski. He had to hire a consultant, as he said. It was Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan. He was the guy that consulted the film. Now, it just seemed odd that Polanski was trying to send a message to his audience. Sharon Tate was stabbed to death. She was killed by cult members in her living room with her friends. The movie tends to foreshadow the events of the Manson family murders. Rosemary has a knife, and she enters a room with the cult members of the child with the child in the final moments, just like in the film. I'm sure the same thing happened with Tate. She walked in on the cult. She was pregnant. but it was too late. She was killed. It was just one of those scary parallels. The apartment scenes in Rosemary's Baby were filmed at the Dakota Apartments in New York. This was the very place where John Lennon was shot by a fanatic of his music. Mark David Chapman was another lone nut who allegedly was programmed to kill. And so Chapman killed Lennon, the guy who wrote 999, number 999, killed him right there in the Dakota Apartments. So arguably what we're looking at here is the program mechanisms for probably both Rosemary's Baby, which was the almost prophetic floor plan of some satanic ritual killing, the Beatles' White Album, an enabler used in the virtual brainwashings of the Manson family, the music of John Lennon influenced Manson, and the number nine revolution gave Manson reason to believe that a race war would fulfill revolution, or actually a part in the Bible, Revelation number 9. Now, is it a huge coincidence that the remaining Beatles have reissued these albums, including the White Album on 999? I don't think so. And this is why. This is why they did it. The number 9 appeared repeatedly in John Lennon's life, leading some people, himself included, to believe the number was of metaphysical significance to him. But knowing its satanic significance, it gives pause to wonder if Lennon's fate was sealed as well. Take a look at the 9 coincidences in Lennon's life. Lennon was born on the 9th of October, 1940. His son Sean was also born the 9th of October in 1975. Brian Epstein first saw Lennon and the Beatles at the Cavern on 9 November, 1961, and secured the recording contract with EMI on the 9th of May, 1962. On the cover of Walls and Bridges, there's a painting of Lennon from when he was 11 years old of a football player with a big 9 on his shirt. In addition, to number 9 Dream, Lennon constructed the sound collage Revolution number 9 on the White Album and also wrote the song One After 909. John met Yoko on 9 November 1966, 9 years after he met Paul McCartney and 9 years before the birth of his son Sean. Lennon lived at the Dakota, built in 1981. You can add up those numbers and find they add up to 9. In apartment 72, of course, adds up to 9. The building is located on 72nd Street in New York City, which again adds up to 9. He was murdered late in the evening of 8th of December 1980 in New York, but it was already early morning hours of 9th of December at his birthplace of Liverpool, England. Of course, 1980 also adds up to 9. Number 9, number 9, number 9. In a famous 1970 Rolling Stone interview, Lennon suggested that he, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr took their second LSD trip at Doris Day's house in California while touring with the Beatles. That house was 150 Cielo Drive, Bel Air, Los Angeles, California, the house where Sharon Tate and 4 others were murdered. Doris Day's son, Terry Melcher, had allowed Roman Polanski and his wife, Sharon Tate, to take over his unexpired lease about 6 months prior to the Manson family murders. The song Dear Prudence on the White Album is about Mia Farrow's sister, Prudence. Mia Farrow played Rosemary in Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. Coincidence? I don't think so. John Lennon's murder at the Dakota Apartments by Mark David Chapman yet again churns a number of strange coincidences. Mark David Chapman, Lennon's assassin, also has a coincidental tie with the Manson killings. It was Winifred Chapman, a maid hired by Polanski, to found the bodies massacred by the Manson family. I did know of a relation, but I have a hard time finding it at the moment. Chapman also claimed that he had listened to Lennon's Double Fantasy album and heard the song Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. He claimed that when played backwards it says 666, I shot John Lennon. Of course, Kiss, 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 if you say it backwards, I'm sure it's 666. Sounds like 666, I shot John Lennon. Of course he heard that. It's amazing. He's crazy. Only a few years after his death, Lennon's widow Yoko Ono helped produce a TV movie called John and Yoko, A Love Story. All seemed to be going well until it was discovered that Mark Lindsay, the near lookalike they'd cast to play Lennon, was actually named Mark Lindsay Chapman. Oops. Big oops, huh? We don't want to hire a guy to play Lennon who killed Lennon. Mark Lindsay Chapman was cast as John Lennon in a movie with Lindsay Lohan called Chapter 27, 2 plus 7 equals 9. The movie is about Mark Chapman and the events that led up to the murder of John Lennon. Lindsay Lohan has been chosen to play the part that Mia Farrow played in the remake of Rosemary's Baby. Isn't that interesting? They're bringing back Rosemary's Baby. I got Lindsay Lohan play the part. Lindsay Lohan was in a movie about the murder of John Lennon with a guy named Mark Lindsay Chapman. So we look at the collective unconscious here and we say to ourselves, from the Beatles to the names and faces of the Manson killings in the news again, Polanski, Sexy Sadie. Then we look at the social war going on, the race war that allegedly is happening, is simmering right now. In fact, I just saw a video today, some kids beat up some black kid in Chicago. They're doing it again. Seems like the devil has made his return. Movie about the Antichrist is about to be remade. They remade The Omen. We're talking about what? Antichrist in New Jersey. Antichrist views are more of the norm, and people are unaware of what to do now. They don't know what to do. It looks like it's happening, right? The Antichrist is coming. He's here. 666-999. Whatever you want to talk about.
Clyde, as far as I'm concerned, the only race war that's simmering is in the mainstream media. They're not manipulating me. I don't know about the rest of you people.
Sure.
But seriously, I mean, I do a lot of activism, especially anti-Obama stuff. I've done a lot of that in the last few months. And most of the time, the people that are pro actually listening to anything negative about Obama are black. So, and I actually get into this racial thing, and most of the people that had race issues with you talking about Obama are white. So, I mean, as long as we realize and use logic instead of reacting like some kind of freaking beast,
well, that's
they
why,
can't manipulate
that's
us.
That's why I'm pointing out that this is a program.
Yeah.
This is exactly a program. I mean, if this isn't obvious to you, this is program magic by what I'm talking about, then you've got something wrong with you.
I don't know about
that. The whole race war thing is programmed magic. It's called black ops. It's another word for black magic, okay? And it's headed up by a guy by the name of Aquino, who is of the Temple of Set, which is a spring-off from LaVey's Church of Satan. And if you want, I'll bring Rex Church in here. He worked for Aquino. He's into intelligence ops, and he knows how it works. He'll tell you all about it. We'll talk about it.
I mean, even if someone's not into all this occult stuff, just look at it from a logical perspective. Don't allow them to have you react. If we're reacting instead of thinking, then we're manipulated. That's the point I wanted to make.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Go ahead. Give him a hand. Go ahead, David.
Just a bit more synchronicity. Antoine LaVey actually played the devil in Rosemary's Baby,
right.
The one that impregnates her.
Right.
Also, Frank Sinatra was married to Mia Farrow at the time of production, and he threatened to divorce her if she went into production because he was sick and tired of having her gone.
Mm-hmm.
He had his lawyers deliver divorce papers. He was rumored to have been a Satanist. Certainly, his good buddy, Sammy Davis Jr., was a Satanist.
He was.
There was a wonderful photograph with him and Antoine LaVey. And Sammy was banned from the JFK inauguration because he was going to get married to Britt Eklund, who was a Swede. And they thought it would be indelicate if they had him there.
Wow.
So black, white.
It's pretty scary. Give him a hand for that. Some good information I didn't know about, but yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, get around the mic.
Not to mention that Anton LaVey has connections to Marilyn Manson, who also had an album called Antichrist Superstar.
That's right. Marilyn Manson, Brian Warner, is a Satanist. I've talked with him before. He is. So Anton LaVey does have connections. And Mike, you want to say one more thing? Or you? Oh, you're just moving the microphone so people can see? Okay, great. John Lennon once said that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus, that the Beatles had a grasp on young people's minds more so than the Bible. Charles Manson called himself a white trash Jesus, and he too believed that he had the young and disenfranchised following him. Lennon was scourged by the media, for saying that the Beatles were more popular than Christ, but he was smart enough to know the difference. A video that's making the rounds on the internet was filmed at the B. Bernice Young Elementary School in Burlington, New Jersey, and it was uploaded on the web on June 19, 2009. It shows school children chanting and singing praises to Barack Obama. One of the lyrics in the song states, "Obama said red, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. Mm-mm, Barack Hussein Obama." The lyric was taken from the song, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." Jesus has been replaced with Barack Hussein Obama. You can look this up on the internet. It's creepy to watch. And the claim is that they were doing it for Black History Month. Check me if I'm wrong. February is Black History Month. You don't do this in June. Okay? And even then, you don't go singing songs in praise to the President of the United States. I'd like to hear somebody go, George Bush. He's the man. Anybody remember Jesus Camp when I showed it here at the club? Yeah. And those kids were worshiping George Bush. Back then, people had tears in their eyes. They're about ready to throw up. You put this on the internet, take a look at all the people saying, oh, this isn't a problem. This isn't bad. This is great. Yeah, fuck you. You know, last time I saw shit like this was when I watched propaganda films with Leni Riefenstahl in that movie that Leni Riefenstahl did. I forget the name. Just what's it called? Triumph of the Will. Thank you. My brain just slipped for a minute. Propaganda, baby. That's what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was ranting about that when I saw an article on Infowars.com about it, and then it struck a chord with me. I was a good little Christian boy when I was small. I went to Sunday school. I sang that song, and then when I listened to it and then thought about that one verse, it just freaked me out. It just appalled me. Something else?
Red and yellow, was, black and white, they are equal in sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Yeah. Barack Obama loves the children of the world.
If you guys want to...
Praise Jesus.
Yeah. Something else is if you type, militant Obama kids into YouTube, you'll find kids chanting and they're going like this, Alpha, Omega, Alpha, Omega. It's a reference to God, the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
And if you go to Google Images and search Obama Halo, okay, throughout Obama's presidential campaign, people like photographers that work for the mainstream media busted their butts to take thousands of pictures of him just at the right angle so it looks like there's a halo on him.
They did the same thing with Bush, though.
Yeah, they did, but Bush is about as charismatic as a freaking carrot.
Well,
it doesn't scare me.
But they tried to make it that way.
Yeah. But my favorite one, though, is a picture of Obama standing in front of a doorway, and there's a zero above his head. Obviously a staged freaking photograph, if you think about it, because I've never heard of the address of zero.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for that. That's true. Thank you. Burlington, New Jersey is where those kids were singing praises to Barack Obama. Wasn't that New Jersey the same place where 1 in 3 people believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist? Now you know why. I wondered why. I tried to come up with ideas why. This is why. As we're thinking about number 9 and Helter Skelter, and there's one more story that I need to address before I close the show. On September 9, 2009, the world was watching Obama make his speech about health care. We were hearing about racist motivations behind Joe Wilson's liar comment. The entertainment section was praising the Beatles and the release of their remastered albums. However, there was one story that was completely overlooked. Air Mexico flight 576 was hijacked in Mexico City. 567 equals 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. John Mark Flores Pereira, a priest, was carrying a Bible in a tin can that he claimed was a bomb. When he hijacked the plane, he said that he was being helped by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He claimed that he received a revelation that chapter 9 in the book of Revelations was being fulfilled. Flores said that after reading the 9th chapter of the Apocalypse, he received divine revelation that 999 is the satanic number 666 turned upside down. As he was carried off by police, reporters shoved microphones in his face, and he looked at the camera and he said, Christ is coming soon. Now, programming or not? And does it go beyond the Beatles? Does it go beyond Rosemary's Baby? Does it go beyond whether or not Barack Obama is the Antichrist? Yeah, it does. It's a number of programs that have been forced upon people over thousands of years. And when you have a man like this who sincerely believes that Christ is coming soon, there you have your extremist religious right. There you have your precedent for police state. There you have your pretext for coming in and taking people out. All the programs are in play, and this is what we have to deal with. Christ may not be coming soon, but perhaps we're sensing that the end is coming soon. It all goes back to that nocebo effect I was talking about. When we're sensing that the end is coming soon, when we have all these things basically playing on our senses, eventually someone is going to break, and someone is going to rebel. And you can say they have mental problems all you want, but when this is working on your brain and your skull, eventually you're not going to be able to take it anymore. Once again, I would like to thank Janine Duffy, J9 Duffy, for helping out. Give her a hand for helping out with the images tonight, going the full nine yards for this one. And the puppies and kitties as well. I'm Clyde Lewis, the Ground Zero Lounge. By the way, this show is available if you'd like to buy it for $10. We put a lot of work into these shows. Please help us out with that. And also, stick around for Karaoke from Hell. Buy yourself a slice of pizza. Get yourself a beer. Have a good time. We'll see you next week from the Ground Zero Lounge. Good night.
Information is free.
Okay, let me know when you want me to blast it. I'll blast it for you. Blast it, blast it, blast it. I'll blast it. Damn right, I'll blast that son of a bitch.
Four.
She's on the chat room tonight. Can't tell because I've minimized the chat room.
Information is free.
Okay.
Three.
You want me to run the signal? You want me to run the bat signal, dude? Okay, dude. That's it, man. Hey. What the?
Information is free.
There it is. Welcome to the real world.
Death can come for us.
At any time.
There is only one way to save our city.
Now, from Hot Talk KTRK in Portland, Oregon, it's the Ground Zero Show.
Speaker spoke up and said,
with me, Clyde Lewis, at 103.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
still doing Ground Zero at 103. That's what my paycheck is, $103.32. Ground Zero broadcasting live on ZeroPointRadio.com.